We thank you, our God. We thank you, our Savior. You are surely, mightily worthy of all our glory and all our praise. Father God, and open up our eyes and our hearts and our understanding to hear, to receive your word, that which you have prepared for us, that which is in your heart for us in this moment. Cause us and help us to incline our hearts and our ears to your word. And Lord, we speak over the airwaves. We speak regarding everything that concerns us and that concerns your agenda for us, that you establish your counsel in all of our lives in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you the glory today. We give you the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's shout a living amen, a living hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God, our Father. He deserves the glory and the honor. He deserves all of the praise, and all of the worship belong to our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's take our 2025 confession, and let's spend some time in the Word of God. I would like to minister as the Lord has imparted to me today. But let's start with our confession. It's almost 10 minutes long, it's powerful. Amen. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life, he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. As I mentioned to you last week Sunday, this is not just a message for 2025. If I were you, I would keep this message somewhere in my rich treasury, in my, did you call it Fort Knox? In my Fort Knox, where I can always go and pull it out, even in the future, into the future. This is one of those messages. It's not just for a time. It's not just for a season. This is a thus saith the Lord that we need to pay a lot of attention to so that we can enjoy the fullness of the blessings of God that he has prepared and ordained for us. We're so thankful to have Pastor Moiwa back. Pastor Moiwa, Deacon Ezine, their family. They were on vacation last week. You guys deserve that. I know you've worked so hard. You've been going and going and going and going nonstop. So I'm glad you had some time to just refresh, renew. Amen. And we're glad to have you back. Last week, Pastor Kermit was the man. Glory to God. He did an amazing job. Pastor Moiwa, you prepared him very well. He did an amazing job. He told me on the phone before the service, he said, I'm the man. I said, you are the man. He said, I am the man. And truly, he was the man. Amen. We thank God for you, Pastor Kermit. Glory to God. So welcome back, Pastor Moriwa and family. We love you guys. Amen. All right. So nothing missing, nothing broken is the will of God for all of his people for all times. So, you are going to see me go through this even in Elo. I'm going to keep on ministering this. And we'll see how far the Lord helps us get as the year begins to wrap up. But I'm very deeply committed to sharing and imparting the revelations that the Lord has shared with me from this message that are truly life-changing, that I believe that a lot of people in the body of Christ either not aware of, or they just don't know how to enjoy these rich treasures that God has made available to us. But I do guarantee you that if you will pay attention, if this will become a revelation to you, and you know when we minister here, I'm ministering for your benefit as the Lord has ministered to us. But I'm also ministering for the benefit of so many people that we don't see in person that are virtual and who are receiving. And even years into the future, these messages stay out there and the world will be blessed by them. So I do encourage you to lay hold on them and take what belongs to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's start out from Acts chapter 10, where we were last week. And let's read a few verses towards the end of it. And then I'm going to give you these five things. I know I don't have too much time to minister today, but we'll continue next week by God's grace. I'll give you these five things, and then I'm going to go back to this scripture in Acts chapter 10 and actually try to break it up into three different parts. I want to show you a few things that are really important and relevant that you need to see here. And then once it's 1 o'clock, I'll stop ministering so we can share communion together. Amen. Glory to God. So in Acts chapter 10, if you would go there, God is no respecter of persons. That's what Peter said. Let's go and read from verse 34. Let's start out there. And I won't do too much preaching. I'll read that and then I'll give you a section of my notes before I get back into the Bible. Amen. Acts chapter 10 from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching shalom by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." Last week, we read that particular verse. I wanted you to read it in the Amplified, verse 36. And I want you to read it again in verse 36. In the Amplified, it says, "You know the contents of the message which he sent to Israel, announcing the good news, the gospel of shalom by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Then it says in verse 37 in the Amplified, "The same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism preached by John." That's the same message that is being preached even today. That's the same message that the Lord sent Peter to preach to the house of Cornelius. Let's go back to the King James in verse 38. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good." Somebody say, "He went about doing good." Say it again. "He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Verse 39, "And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and he showed him openly." Now, if you just go all the way down to verse 44. "While Peter was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the words." That was God's confirmation. That was God's affirmation. That was God's approval of what was happening in this particular small home. This was a small home Cornelius had called his entire family together. It wasn't a large gathering. It was not a large gathering at all. It was just a family. And Cornelius called his entire family together to hear the word of God. And as that man of God, that apostolic vessel was ministering, the Holy Spirit fell in that small room and began a movement that spread out to the rest of the world. We are still enjoying the benefits of that today. Glory to God. Now, I want you to look back there in verse 34, where he says, Peter opened his mouth and he said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted with him." Now, just to drill this a little further, and then I'm going to give you a couple of my notes here. If for the benefit of those who are writing, if you are not writing, these messages will be online anyways. If you have some time, you want to study them by yourself, you can. But like I said, I'm going to take some time to teach on some of these things for a while, because these are really very crucial for us to understand and for us to have a revelation of. Amen. Now, so you see here, Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now, what happened to Peter? We'll read a few of those verses in just a minute. But what Peter is saying here is this: whatever God does for any of his people, whatever God has done for any of his people throughout all generations, he is still doing today for his people. God is no respecter of persons. And you know, Peter had an encounter with God that showed him this. He didn't know what was coming, but that encounter he had with God prepared him for what he's now ministering to Cornelius and his family. God is no respecter of persons. Can somebody say that with me? God is no respecter of persons. Say that: God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. God doesn't respect persons. He respects commitment. God respects commitment. God respects faith. God respects spirit. So if the commitment, if the faith, if the spirit is from a little child, hallelujah. Come, El Nathan, come here, come. Where is he? Come. 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 See, he's wearing a preacher's suit today, although he's not wearing his shoes. He left his shoes behind. He's standing on holy ground. So he took off his shoes. This young man, if this young man in the presence of God begins to exhibit great commitment to the principles of the Word of God, and if this young man begins to exhibit great faith in the Word of God, and if this young man begins to walk and to flow in the spirit of the Word of God, I guarantee you, my friends, this little boy will enjoy more of God's supernatural blessings in his life than the oldest person in this room, whoever that is, if they don't have the same commitment. Right. Amen. I need you to get that. If the oldest person in this room does not have a similar commitment to that commitment which this little boy has, you will see God manifest miracles in this little boy's life that you will not see in the old people's life. Do you know why? Because God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter of commitment, faith, and spirit. Did you get that? Let's thank God for Mr. Helen. Nathan. Go on. Continue in that holy ground. I want this to be a revelation to you. God is no respecter of races. I want you to know this. There is There is an ungodly lie that has been told that some races are superior to other races. It is a lie. It is a lie. What God will do in one race, he will do in another. He will do in all races. Now, there is an understanding we need to have, because in the time of corruption from the Old Testament, that was not the case. There were curses that came on groups of people because of what the people that led those races did. And even today, there is the concept of generational curses. It's real. Where you can find certain things that are just perpetually wrong in a bloodline. People die of similar sicknesses. People deal with similar curses. Certain people, certain things, certain characteristics and traits. Families, you can have people actually make progress up onto a certain age and their lives are just either cut off completely or suddenly they start to go. I mean, all sorts of crazy things. That's because of the fall of man. Right. This is real. Certain sicknesses, that's why even medical science, we've said this on this pulpit before, but it bears repeating. If you do your test, you go for your whatever, annual physical, or you have something going on in your body, you go to the doctor, they will run tests. One of the things they'll ask you, is this in your family? Right? If there's predisposition in a family line, even before those things show up in the children, they start telling you to guard against that. If there's diabetes, hypertension, all of different, you know them, right? They start telling you, watch, even though you don't have the sickness, you personally don't have it. They start telling you, okay, watch. Why? Because it has been proven there are things that go through the bloodline. However, this is important to know and to remember that the blood of Jesus, praise God, we share communion again today. The blood of Jesus has already dominated every generational curse. Amen. For those who will receive it. Amen. For those who will receive it. Not everybody. Not everybody. Like I was explaining in our meeting that we had on Thursday, you know, the mystery of predestination. People have heard, you have heard the word predestination. And many people don't understand what predestination means. What many people think is predestination means God has chosen some people and he has left some people. If that was the case, this what we are reading in the Bible, it would not be true. Where Peter said, God is no respecter of persons. Some people believe God has already chosen those who will be saved. And he has chosen those that will not be saved. Some people think God has chosen those who will be blessed and those who will not be blessed. In fact, there is one of the most popular religions in the world today. The religion of Islam. That's what we grew up on. That's what we were fed when we were young, little growing up. Islam really does believe that and teaches that God has already chosen some people to be blessed. And others to not be so blessed. God has chosen who will be the leaders, and God has chosen those that will be the servants. God has chosen those that will be poor, and God has chosen those that will be rich. That's why you see there's a lot of dogmatic servitude in that religion, because they believe God chose. If somebody is wealthy, a rich imam, al-haji, God chose him. So we, the persons, are supposed to just serve him, be subservient and serve him, because God chose him before he even did anything right or wrong. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
The ones who are rich versus those who are poor, God chose. The ones who are holy and righteous versus those who are ungodly, God chose. It is not true. It's a lie. There is a mystery of predestination. You need to understand it. It's not something that I can talk about in 2 minutes, but that's just about how much time I have to say this before I move on. The mystery of predestination is this. There is a scripture where Jesus said, where he said in the New Testament, many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Now, actually, let's expand that. Everyone is called. Jesus died for everybody. You, your neighbors, everyone in your family, everyone in your street, everyone in your place of work, even the ones that act like devils, Jesus died for everybody. Amen. Jesus died for everybody. However, God's plan of predestination has determined that only the people that accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior will enjoy abundant life. So, let's say, this is the best example I can think of right now, just in this moment. There's only one door to go out to the parking lot. That door is right there to my right. That's the only door we have made available to go to the parking lot. There are other doors all around the building, but we have locked them all. We have kept only one door open to go to the parking lot. If you want to go to the parking lot and you want to head home, you have to go through this door. Once you get out into that parking lot, you are free to go home. If you don't get to the parking lot, you are bound in this building. But we have given you only one door to get to that parking lot. Where is the door? It's right there. If you want to go home, where do you go? You go to that door. If you want to go home, do you go to all these other doors? No, because we have locked all those other doors. This is the only door we have kept open. So who are the people that will go home today? How many people, who are the people that will get to their homes today after this service? The people that will go through that door. Let me ask you a question. When you leave this service and you get home, is it that God decided that you will be the only one who gets home and some people who are trapped in this building will not go home? Is that what happened? What happened? God gave us a door. And he said, if you go through that door, you will go home. But if you don't go through that door, you will be trapped. This is the mystery of predestination. The good life that you and I enjoy today is not that God chose, like I was the first one who got saved in my family, right? How many, 40-something years ago? It's not that God handpicked me and said, well, you will be saved, and all the others, right there, my buddy, he was my cousin. We grew up together. We lived together with my uncle. His name was Kazim. He was my best buddy. We grew up together from about, I think we were like about age 7 or so when we started living with my uncle. And Kazim was just one of those people who just had to have his own way. And, you know, one time he ran away from home and he went and they pulled him out from under a truck, under a trailer. The police brought him back home. You know, they punished him and all that. Another time he ran away from home against the one who would not stay in class. You say he's going to school, but you go somewhere else, you know. It saddens me deeply to say it, but as a teenager, Kazim, while I was in, you know, finally our paths went different ways. While I was in high school, Kazim was working in seaport areas in Nigeria, and just died mysteriously. Just died mysteriously. I grew up with him. We grew up, we did everything together. I'm serious, we did every single thing together. When our paths separated, And finally, I met the Lord and I accepted the Lord. Abundant life became available to me. It's not that God said Kazim will go to hell. God chose between the two of us growing up together. God said, Kazim, you will go to hell, but Kayode, you will go to heaven. That's not the way it happened. And as he walked on his path, I walked on my path, and on his path, the Lord sent people to him too, to introduce Christ to him, to show him the way of salvation, just like the Lord did for me. But somehow, I thank God for his mercies, I accepted him. I accepted his way. And when I accepted his way and went through the door, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone, for you come to the Father, you have to come through me. Amen. When I accepted him, guess what? The life, the truth, everything became available to me. Because Kazim continuously rejected him, unfortunately, he continued to live under the dominion of the devil until finally Satan cut off his life. He died as a teenager. This is the mystery of predestination. Amen? In your family, God calls everybody. If you look in the Bible, God called Abraham's father before Abraham. See, he called Abraham's father. Abraham's father went. He went halfway and he stopped. God was looking for someone to make a covenant with. He went halfway and he stopped. And then finally died. And then God called Abraham. And Abraham said, yes, Lord, I will go anywhere you send me. I will do anything you send me to do. And finally God said, I have found a covenant partner in Abraham. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Why is this important? God is no respecter of persons. I need you to understand this. Before you gave your life to Christ, we all had all the same options, all the same privileges, all the same opportunities. In different ways, in unique ways, depending on our different journeys, our different destinies. But God had a plan for every single human being he created. God is not partial. Yeah, some are born into disadvantaged families. Some are born into... But let me tell you something. Both those that are born into advantaged families and those that are born into disadvantaged families is the same God, is the same Jesus. Everybody has to accept the same Jesus.
Yeah.
Being born into an advantaged family does not get you to heaven.
No.
You don't go to heaven because you are the son or the daughter of the president of the United States or the king of the United Kingdom. No. No. We all have to accept the same Jesus to get the best. Now, you all know that. I believe you should know that. By now, you should know that. If you don't know that, you will not be in church this morning. Now, the part many believers are not aware of is this fact and this truth and this principle continues after you come into Christ. After you come into Christ, this continues. God doesn't choose those who will enjoy abundant life. Say, for you, Deacon, you will have nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything in your life will work well. Everything. God will beautify your life. He will glorify your life. You said, but for that deaconess sitting next to you, on the chair next to you, I don't have such a good plan for her. No, that's not the way it is.
No.
We all have the same opportunities.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what determines how far you go in your life? I tell you, everything is affected by this. Your spiritual life, your mental, emotional, psychological life, your physical life, your health, your material life, your relationships, your family, everything is affected by this. There is one door Those who will walk and enjoy abundant life have to go through that door. God didn't choose those that will go through the door. He just created the door. Those who walk through the door will find abundant life. How many of you believe you are going to go through that door? Hallelujah. I said, how many of you believe you are going to go through that door? As long as you go through that door, abundant life is for you. As long as you walk through that door, nothing missing, nothing broken is your portion. Are you listening to me? God is no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of commitment, faith, and spirit. Anybody in any race. That's why he said, look at that next verse. Verse 35. But in every nation. Somebody say every nation. Is that the truth? In every nation. Whatever nation you are in the world. This provision of God. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man. Put that up for me, Emma. Put that up. John 14:6. No man will come unto the Father, but by me. If it's not verse 6, it's verse 16. It's one of them, I think. Thank you. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man will come unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. When you come in through the way, the next thing you must lay hold on is the truth. Yes. It's called revelation. When you come in through the way, the next thing you must lay hold on is the truth. It's called revelation. That revelation, that truth, is the door to abundant life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you come in through the way and you are now a child of God, you are a believer. But when it comes to laying hold on the truth, you are lazy. When it comes to getting a revelation of the truth, you are lazy. You keep giving excuses. You keep making excuses. There's a reason. There's always a reason why you can't access the truth. You cannot be there. You can't be available. You can't. You are too busy. You are this. You are that. Can I ask you a question? Will you access abundant life? No, you will not. Even though you are in church. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The staircase, the elevator that takes you to abundant life is called truth. Amen. Somebody stand to your feet this morning. Stand, just stand. Shake, I'm almost done, I'm almost good. I'm going to do communion in just a minute. Just raise your hand to heaven. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I open up my heart to the revelation of His truth in every area of my life. I choose, I make a commitment to access the elevator to abundant life, which is the revelation of your truth. I thank you because on this journey, in my destiny, you are helping me. You will help me. You are the one who started me off on this journey. I did not start myself off. I did not save myself. You were the one who called me. You were the one who saved me. Now that you have called me and that you have saved me, I know you will help me in my quest to continually lay hold on the truth, the revelation of your truth, so that I can access abundant life. I give you praise because the blessing of nothing missing, nothing broken is my provision, is my portion, and I make a commitment and I release my faith and I yield to the Holy Spirit to walk in the fullness of it. I give you praise today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Sit down for a minute. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Your access to the truth of the word of God is also in dimensions. Your access to the truth of the word of God is also in dimensions. That's why we have that parable of the sower. There's something called 30-fold. There's something called 60-fold. There's something called 100-fold. Those dimensions are not determined by God. They are determined by you. How much of the abundant life of God, how much of the abundant life of Christ, the blessing of nothing missing, nothing broken, in every area of your life, how much of that life you can access is determined by your choices. If you are satisfied with just a little bit, good for you. Enjoy your little bit. But if you want everything that God has for you, and you want 100-fold of the sown seed, you want 100-fold of the revealed divine truth to come into fruition in your life, my friends, you have to make some choices. One of those choices has to do with how you entertain and how you treat and how you exercise the revelation of the truth of the word of God. You tell somebody, you say, divine healing is possible. Divine healing. God uses doctors. God uses, but divine healing is actually possible. It's not always a one-time thing. In fact, most times, working and living and enjoying divine health, most times is not a crisis. It's not an emergency. Most times is a lifestyle. Many of the people that have enjoyed divine health in their lives were not necessarily healed in a moment. Like prayer they receive or we anoint them. That happens. But I'm telling you, that's the minority. That's a miracle. But you were created not to need a miracle every day. Amen. The way to enjoy the best of God in your life is not to need a miracle every day. Are you listening to me? The way to enjoy the best of God in your life is to live in the blessing flow. Is to live in the blessing flow. Is to walk in the blessing flow. In that blessing flow, you and the Lord walk together. He teaches you. He shows you. He helps you. But as you find out, as you obey, as you yield, as you do, the Lord suddenly keeps you in a place where, you are enjoying abundant life. I don't care how many times and how many hours you pray every day. If you don't get good quality sleep, as a human being, you are shortening your life. I don't care how many hours, I don't care how much you fast, how spiritual. If you don't get good quality sleep every day, God created the human vessel. That's God's due order. Is that part of your life, there's a cycle where you must sleep. During that sleep, restoration and repair happens in your body. There are things that God changes. It's like when you take your car to the mechanic and they do oil change. There are certain things that have to happen in your body on an ongoing basis. Part of what helps that happen is good quality sleep.
If you don't sleep well, you will not perform optimally. The way God created your body, there are certain foods that are good for your body, and there are certain foods that are bad for your body. I don't care how many miracles you believe in. If you constantly eat foods that are bad for your body, but then you are praying and binding the spirit of calories, you will not live very long. You can take all the food and say, in Jesus' name, I bind all these calories. You will not affect my body. It will affect you. It will kill you early. As you lay hold, this is what I'm sharing with you, is truth. As you lay hold on this divine revelation of truth, you step up. There are some things you say to yourself, you know what, I'm not going to eat that anymore. Not like I will never eat it, because that's bondage, but that will not be a part of my regular diet anymore, because that's not good for me. That one is blocking my blood vessels. When blood is supposed to flow somewhere, that one can create a trap somewhere, stop the flow of blood. And cut short a life. How about your intellectual well-being? Is God going to breathe on you and then suddenly your mind is developed? No. In order for your mind to develop, for you to do well intellectually, you have to study. You have to gain knowledge. If you didn't have to, Paul would not have said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you could just close your eyes and God could breathe on you and revelation, all the revelation on this earth could come, you don't need to study. But God, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There is something you need in your life today. There is knowledge to get that thing. Without that knowledge, you will be lacking. And some people say, it is God has not answered my prayer. No, you have not found the knowledge. There is knowledge that is already available. Some of that knowledge we call wisdom. There is knowledge available for you to be able to, when you want to go up in life, there is knowledge available. If not, you will be trapped in destiny. You will be stuck. You will be stuck in the basement of life. There is knowledge available for you to go up. For you to go up. This abundant life is not just hearsay. There is a way to prosper in your relationships. Relationships are two-way streets. They are like a little baby. If you don't feed them, they will die. Relationships are two-way streets. If you don't feed them, they will die. You can fast and pray 30 days. Every 2 months. If you don't observe God's due order for relationships, that relationship will finally die. And then when it dies, people will say, Bishop so-and-so, you know the whole scripture. You know this. You know, why is it that your relationship died? Then you have to tell them, this nothing missing, nothing broken that I'm not enjoying in my relationship, it's not because God didn't make a way for it. It's because I refused to do what God said to do to make my relationship thrive. It's time to close. We're going to take communion. There is due order. Everything God made in this world has due order. There's a due course to make things work. There are things you are suffering in your life right now where you can say something, Pastor, you say nothing missing, nothing, but some things are missing, oh. Many things are missing. Let me tell you right now, there are many things missing that you are dealing with right now. The knowledge of the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the truth can elevate you. It can be a thing of the past. It can be a thing of the past because you got the revelation of the truth.
Because you got a revelation of the truth. I can get to my five. We'll get to it. Let's see what happens with Elo next week. Let's keep on going. God is no respecter of persons. Whatever you need in your life right now is available. It's available. Divine truth. The knowledge. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just thank God for his word today. Bless your name, oh God. Let's go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. His word that he spoke to us. Go ahead and bless his name. I don't know what the Lord spoke to you personally or directly from that short message, but go ahead and thank God that word will produce fruit in your life. That word will produce fruit in your life in this season and beyond. The blessing and the promise of nothing missing, nothing broken will be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Thank God. Thank God because you have found the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God that you have found the way. But that's only the beginning point. Thank God. Thank God for the desire he has put in your heart to gain revelation of truth. Jesus didn't say, I'm just the way. If he just said, I'm the way, just the way, then the moment you give your life to Christ, you should leave and go to heaven. But God wants you to live a high quality of life on this earth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. What helps you access the abundant life of God on this earth is your connection, your commitment to the revelation of truth. Thank God for the grace that he has made available to you in your personal life to be able to lay hold on the revelation of his truth. He says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There are bondages that people are grappling with in their lives today. The reason they are stuck in those bondages is because they have not accessed divine truth. Thank God that your own case will never be like that. You will not be one of the princes that is walking on the ground and beggars are riding on your horses. You will be one of those that are enjoying fully the full dimension of the abundant life that God created for you in your generation. You will be one of those that fully enjoys everything that Christ died to give to you. You'll be one of those. You'll be one of those. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much. We bless and we magnify your holy name. You are worthy. We love you with all our hearts. We thank you for sending Jesus to save us. Sending Jesus to show us the light. Sending Jesus to give us abundant life. Thank you for feeding us with your word today. Father God, we commit to you. In our commitment, we rise up. In our faith, we rise up. In our spirit, we rise up. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Because we understand, we recognize today, you are not a respecter of persons, but you are a respecter of commitment. You are a respecter of faith. You are a respecter of spirit.
We rise up in our heart today. We commit to the revelation of your truth. We commit to walking, Father, so that we can elevate to a higher dimension, a place where we have never been before. God, even in our journey of destiny, we can lay hold on the things that you have made available to us in Christ Jesus, the good table that you have prepared before us in the presence of our enemies. God, that we can lay hold on them. We can lay hold on them. We thank you, Father. And as we take communion, we come around this covenant table today to close this service. Everyone under the sound of my voice, every man and every woman and every boy and every girl, let the blood of Jesus that flows from Calvary's tree, let it flow. Let it break every hindrance, every obstacle. Let it remove every stone in every grave. There's a Lazarus that is ready to come out of a grave today. Let the blood of Jesus remove that stone. Let the blood of Jesus remove that stone. Let it unentangle Lazarus in the name of Jesus. Let it breathe the life of God and bring him out of that grave. Bring him, I don't care how long he has been there. I don't care if he stinketh already. I don't care if he's a subject of ridicule and shame. It doesn't matter. Let the blood of Jesus release every Lazarus today. Help us to lay hold on the fullness of what you have for us. Lord, we pray for the children, the youth, the young people, everyone, all of them, that are those that are represented by those that are in this room, but there are many more that are connected with us in the spirit that are not in this room. Many of them are going back to school. Many or some of them are already back in school. Many of them, this by the end of this coming week, most of them would already be back. Another school year, another session, another part on their destiny, where you send things in their lives to promote them, to elevate them. But at the same time, Satan is also sending things into their lives to corrupt them. We lift them up before you today. Everyone that is around us today, we use them as a point of contact. We speak over them, adults. If there is a child or a young person, a youth around you, I want you to touch them. Put your hand on their shoulders. That in the name of Jesus, these ones will be kept. They will be kept from every evil, corrupting influence in the world. When the world is telling them, this is what you should do, this is how you should go, this is what to believe, God, you will keep them. Father, you will keep them with the revelation of your truth. You will promote them, you will protect them, you will preserve their lives. Father God, the plan that you have made for their future, for their destiny, Lord, help them elevate into that plan. Even in this new year, in this new year, by the time this next school year is over, they would have been 1 year older. Let each and every one of them, Lord, let each and every one of them, let them have elevated and stepped into the higher thing you have for them in their destiny. In their destiny. The devil is a liar in their destiny. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He's pulling blinds over the eyes of young people. Pulling blinds. Blinds. And shades to confuse them so they don't know what is true. They hear this at home, they hear that in the church, but they hear this other extreme opposite thing out in the world, sometimes even from respected authorities. It's the plan of the devil to confuse them,
But we cover our children with the blood of Jesus today. We declare in the name of Jesus, they are shielded from every evil plan of the enemy. We use those ones that are here in this room as a point of contact to every one of them that is connected with us all over the world. Every child, every young person that is connected with us in the spirit, we pray for them today that the power of the blood of Jesus will shield them from every evil influence in the world, every confusionist spirit, every plan and every agenda of the devil. In the name of Jesus, we declare you will not prosper, you will not stand. In the name of Jesus, we shield these ones from every evil plan, every sought counsel. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you for breaking every cycle and every chain. Thank you for breaking every yoke, every generational curse for the adults, those that are in our families, everyone that's connected with us. Not just those that are in this room, but those that are connected with us, those whether in the spirit or naturally. In the name of Jesus, we break generational curses. We break yokes of the enemy. We break strangleholds of the devil. In the name of Jesus, we release them from traps. We release them from graves. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we declare, be free, be free, be free. Father, we thank you so much. Amen.